We have some committed callers who have stayed with us through the news break, so we're going to get to them here in just a couple of minutes. But, Roger, we had a listener that couldn't hang out but did want to share a question.
And the question was, what's the actual cost of an abortion and how many women have one? Mm-hmm. And the question goes on to a second part. Why complain about insurance prices being raised by just a couple of dollars? And I can see the point the person is trying to make with the question, but I don't think to most people this is an economic argument.
No, not really.
I don't think Right to Life was suggesting this law to be fiscally conservative. That wasn't what their agenda was. It wasn't a cost-saving effort. They're opposed to abortion, and this was a way of making abortions less common and more difficult to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
their goal.
Absolutely.
Not dollar savings.
And, you know, we talk about that, and, you know, it just simply is the means to an end rather than to say, here's, you know, let's control the costs. Because control the costs is another discussion entirely.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I can't tell you what an abortion costs. It's not something that I've ever sought out price-wise, research or otherwise. It's not anything I know about.
We have a producer who is really good at this. And, Michael, if you could find out what the average cost of an abortion is in this country and how many take place.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Meantime, I'll tell you what, we should wait no longer because Janet's been waiting on the line for a while. Janet, you're with the show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
I needed to say all men are created equal under the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the rights of the innocent babies who are humans from conception,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and also the right to not be forced to pay for abortions, which are against many faiths, and the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. And many of our forefathers and presidents, so those who wrote the Constitution and those who helped form it, also said, if we lose our morals, we will cease to exist as a nation. Also, what about the rights of the fathers who want their child and would like to see that child grow up and be a part of their lives?
Okay.
But also, the American War casualties, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, Gulf War, war in Iraq, 50 million babies have been aborted in 1973. So how many have been aborted since? But it's more than all of the casualties in these wars combined.
Janet, are you opposed to abortion in the case of life of the mother? And what are your thoughts on abortion in the case of rape? Is rape God's will, and if you're raped, you must have the baby?
Many young girls and women who have been raped have carried that child for full term, and
that wasn't my question.
Let me finish because it explains it. They have carried that child full term and either given that child up for adoption or kept the child and loved that child with all their hearts.
What about life of the mother then? What about life of the mother then?
That's a decision that has to be made between the doctor and the the person that his life is in jeopardy.
But in all other cases, the government should be making that decision, not the doctor and not the woman. But in the case
of the government,
in the case of life of the mother, that's where the doctor and the patient have a voice.
Many women who were told that they should abort their child by the doctor decided to keep that child and had a beautiful child, and the mother survived and the child survived. Where does our faith begin and end?
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. We do have to get to some other callers here, but we appreciate you taking the time with us. And we move on over now to Tammy, who has been waiting ever so patiently. Tammy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much. And I would like to answer that question because I was a mother who had to have a medical terminology of pregnancy.
Okay.
I was pretty far along, and I have three other children, and I'm a high-risk person. I did get pregnant being on the pill, and immediately my body started fighting the child, and the child started fighting to live. And my doctor came to me and said, Tammy, I think God would rather have you on earth to raise the three children you already have than to even try to carry this pregnancy to 5 months.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing a very personal event, and thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and it was painful.
Oh, I'll bet.
It was a hard decision.
No doubt.
It wasn't something that I want, and I'm not a person that supports abortion necessarily. That seems to say that's not for me, but I got put into that position where it was a really hard decision, and it was the best decision that I think I ever made.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Tammy, for sharing. We do appreciate that. That does it puts a face on it, and I think for a lot of people, that's kind of what they need.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. We move on to another caller. John is in Kalamazoo. John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I think that previous caller, for me, totally supports my belief is that the choice should be up to the woman, number one. Number two, my experience has shown that many people who are against abortion of any kind also tend to be the ones that are against funding for things, programs like Early Start, Head Start, programs that help children of mothers that may not have the means to fully be able to take care of their children. If you truly love these children, in my belief, then you should be all for taxing, raising the revenue so we take care of our kids.
Over almost half the people receiving food stamp benefits are children. We cut the women and infants feeding program while we're trying to ban abortion. I agree with you. We can't stop being interested in children the moment they're born. We have to have a longer term interest in children.
I totally agree, and I just find it very contradictory that many of the right-to-life groups are also the ones that are most voracious in their opposition of what they term entitlement programs.
Well, I think, you know, for some people in those movements, they can look at things and say, well, you know, adoption is the alternative, and you have to admit this, there are plenty of couples in America that can't have kids on their own that would love to adopt some of these kids. And I think that's where the thrust is, not necessarily on, hey, let's make sure that we can have these kids feed off the government for the rest of their lives. And I think that's part of the thinking there, don't you think?
Well, I think if you look at the adoption statistics, typically there's plenty of kids out there to adopt. Now, they may not be the same color of skin, or they may not come from the same background as the parent, but there are thousands, tens of thousands of kids are available for adoption. So if somebody really wants to adopt a kid, you can adopt a child. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to belittle a kid by calling them a kid, a child. So.
Okay.
I think he's got a point. We can't use unwanted, dangerous pregnancies as a result of incest or rape as a source for babies to adopt
certainly
for people
not,
who were childless.
But let's put this – and, John, thank you for that call. I appreciate you calling in. Let's put this on the terms of, okay, set aside rape, incest, life of the mother. We're in agreement on that.
Okay.
Okay. Set that aside. To the point of where this is just somebody that, oops, there's a kid, don't want it. Okay? Why can there not be adoption as the option they go for with so many people that want kids? I mean, we've had friends that have seriously been in that position and have had to wait a while to be able to adopt kids.
Mm-hmm. And bless those people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I adopt rescue dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And
but that's not on the same level. No, rescue dogs and babies.
But rescuing others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same sort of mindset. And
to a degree.
Yeah. And I don't know that we need to force a 13-year-old girl who got pregnant by accident with her 13-year-old boyfriend
mm-hmm.
into carrying a baby to term at 13 years old just so a couple that is childless can have a baby to adopt.
The bottom line, though, you got to think in certain terms that there are consequences for the action you take. There are consequences for what decisions you make. And for a lot of people that get an abortion, that they don't want to deal with the consequences. And that's what they decide to do. Let's wash our hands of this.
And I find that reprehensible.
Yeah, absolutely.
We agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm opposed to abortion. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is a governmental responsibility to be involved in a person managing their body. Where does the government get the right to invade a woman's body and tell her, you got pregnant, yes, you did something stupid, but you're going to have to spend 9 months and you're going to have this baby by government edict?
Well, what about this? What gives the government the right to be able to say that murder is a crime? I mean, let's put it on that footing. You put it on that footing, I mean, you can say the same thing and say, well, wait a minute. What if I just I want to off this person because I don't like him? Now,
well,
that's an extreme example, but you get the point.
But it's a whole different matter. You look down your nose at Mike comparing dogs.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a whole different matter.
Shooting you here because you aggravated me
mm-hmm.
is a whole different thing than two 13-year-old kids running amok on hormones, having intercourse, and unexpectedly getting pregnant.
That's a whole different thing
than premeditated murder. I bring a gun to work with me, and the first time you say something that irritates me, I shoot you. That's a whole different thing.
For an awful lot of people, they're going to look at that and say there is a life involved, and there is no difference. Because these two 13-year-olds in your example have created a life.
And I agree. But I don't think it is a governmental responsibility to get involved in that situation.
That's a personal decision,
the parents, the child.
But it's also a personal decision for someone to decide, okay, I'm going to off this guy because I don't like him. We're talking about a life. It's the same thing.
Okay, let's repeal murder laws. Why do we have any laws at all?
Let's look at it this way. Let's look at it this way, okay? You're saying that you are pro-life personally,
uh-huh.
but you're pro-choice otherwise. That's what I'm hearing. And it sounds like you're straddling both sides of the issue here.
No, I'm saying it is a personal decision, and it is not up to a government to involve themselves in it.
But the government has already involved themselves.
I'm a small government advocate here.
But if the government has involved themselves in our lives by saying certain things are crimes, then in this case,
but an abortion is not a crime.
Maybe it should be. Let's look at this. We're talking about a life. Then, that is extinguished here.
There are ways to get laws passed that you want. Mm-hmm. Not this backdoor approach that the conservatives in Lansing took to overrule even their own governor. Mm-hmm. There are ways that if you can, maybe Gretchen Whitmer should vote to repeal this law 42 times. And every other day she could have a vote on let's repeal this law. She'll know it's going to lose, but the Republicans in Washington knew they were tilting at windmills as well. And maybe she just needs to 42 times vote to repeal the same law knowing that she's going to lose.
Now you're bringing in a whole nother argument and a whole nother thing. I mean, we're not talking Obamacare. And we're not talking about what Republicans may or may not do with it.
No, you're talking.
But what I'm talking about is
we're talking about if you agree with the laws or not. And if you think that abortion should be illegal, then you need to work to make abortion illegal.
Certainly.
Not the backdoor approach of just trying to make it more difficult, ignoring the life of the mother and cases of incest and rape.
Mm-hmm. And earlier in the show, I came out and said, I don't like the way that this was passed. So I don't like the way that this happened.
Who don't like abortion, it's not like they don't have any options.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They could work with their congressman or woman and get Congress to pass a law banning abortion.
Sure.
But that's not the law of the land in the country at this point.
But I'm not going to say at the same time that an abortion is different than if somebody decides to commit murder. In my mind, it's the same thing.
Well, I think that's an absurd argument.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to continue that argument later at some point. Got to get to the break here. Always interesting. We're going to continue on with the show, and you continue on with us. Good stuff. And your weather forecast brought to you by Westlake Drug, our family serving yours for over 35 years. We're having a good discussion, and Karen in Portage is encouraging us to continue. She is actually going to stay with us through the break because we actually, I'd really love to give her the time, but we don't have enough time. CBS News is coming up here. So.
We do this on purpose because now we know we've got a listener.
There you go. That's one. Maybe we can get another one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, we're working on it.
All right, we continue ahead. The show is right here. Hope you'll stay with us. And we continue on. Before we move on to anything else, we have Karen on the line. Karen from Portage has been waiting ever so patiently. Karen, welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. I have a comment regarding the issue of whether or not abortion is akin to murder.
Mm-hmm.
In a murder, the person's already come into this world and has made a relationship with the world in some way. Family members, friends that love that person. And when that person is taken away, there are many people that mourn, many people that are impacted by that person's loss. However, when a woman is pregnant, especially in early in pregnancy, that fetus is only impacting that woman's life physically. She has to be the one to physically go through the pregnancy. And as a person who has lost a pregnancy, I actually had an ectopic pregnancy and had to have emergency surgery to have it removed. I never had any tangible relationship with the fetus that I lost. But if it had been a baby, even a couple months old, that I had been born to me and then was taken away from me, you know, by a murderer's bullet or whatever, I had already developed many people would have developed a relationship with that baby already at that point. So to me, it's not the same. It's not the same. I think what makes murder the awful thing that it is the way that it takes a person that's already loved, valued, and has experiences and impacted the world. That person's taken away, and when it's an abortion, it's the woman who's affected. I don't believe that anyone else is affected.
Well, Karen, I think, you know, that is one viewpoint, certainly, but I can point to experience with personal friends of mine that have dealt with similar things where a pregnancy ended early and they mourned that loss. They felt like, you know, this was a baby that they'd lost. And as far as the baby having an impact on people inside the womb, I can tell you this. I mean, I'm a father of two boys, and I was attached to those boys very early on. And, you know, they were not out into the world yet. And guess what? I loved them before I even laid eyes on them.
Well, don't get me wrong. I have three daughters myself. My ectopic pregnancy was my fourth pregnancy. It wasn't planned or expected.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, my previous three pregnancies were planned. They were expected. They were wanted. They were, you know... And, yes, my husband and I immediately developed our personal relationship with the developing child, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, if it's a woman who is unexpectedly pregnant for whatever reason, either by her own irresponsibility or because she's the victim of something, okay, to that person, this developing fetus is something that is impacting their life in such a negative way, you know. Or in my case, you know, I hadn't even had a chance to, I didn't even know I was pregnant. I just was in pain, and then I found out what happened, and then it was taken. And, you know, there's a difference. There's a difference. If you want something and you are expecting, you know, to build a life and you know, raise a child and love it and provide for it, and to suppose that a woman who, even if it's a case of irresponsibility, to suppose that this woman should have to go through 9 months of carrying this child and then just hand it over and never know what happened to that child again, you know, that's putting a lot of burden on this person, okay? And if that child, you know, if she chose an abortion and that child was never born, there's nobody to mourn that other than the woman herself, or possibly, you know, whoever caused the woman to be pregnant.
Well, let's put this on another footing, though. Let's say that there's someone who is homeless, lives under a bridge. They die. There's nobody there to mourn them. Does that still make their death any less tragic?
No, because that person at some point in their life, even though maybe at the point at which they died, were alone and unloved and unwanted, I'm sure that person had an impact on somebody from the time they were born.
And I guess the point I'm making is this, that I think an unborn baby can make an impact on people pretty immediately. And, you know, I can say that about both of my boys but I don't think, even if it's an unplanned pregnancy, it can still have that impact. We've had friends that have said, oh, hey, we're pregnant, weren't planning on it, but guess what? They were connected to that child, and they had that child.
But maybe they had the situation where they could, you know, it wasn't going to impact their life in such a negative way that, you know.
So we should determine that this is a life by its positivity or negativity? Is that what I'm hearing?
You have to
I'm
look.
Hearing, no, what I'm saying, and I'm sure Roger would agree with me because I've you know, been listening for a little while now, and the woman is ultimately the one who's carrying this child, okay? She got pregnant, and she's got to carry that child for 9 months, and she has to either be responsible for caring for it then, you know, until it's 18 or it's off on its own, or she's going to give it away to someone, mm-hmm. okay? And, you know, who, if anyone, anyone to decide whether or not she should have to go through that but her?
Well, I think she has the decision, and the decision involves, and granted, rape, incest, things like that, that's a different story, and it's something we discussed earlier. But bottom line, she had the choice. The choice is in, you know what, you engage in an activity that you could end up with a child. There's your choice.
Well, I don't think in our world today that is, I mean, let's face it,
well, your actions
not abstinent anymore.
But Karen, your actions have consequences, wouldn't you agree?
But you can't.
And you have freedom of choice of how you want to handle your situation.
Does a 13-year-old child really have a choice to make when their hormones run amok?
Exactly. Or even a 16-year-old, Roger. I mean,
yeah, exactly. You're expecting them to make adult, mature decisions while remaining a child. And
what I'm saying is, this is a life that we're talking about. This is not just some piece of tissue. This is a human life. And there's a difference there.
Usually, when abortions occur, I'm not saying all times, but usually when abortions occur, it's before the mother has ever even felt the baby move. Okay, it is essentially, yes, maybe it has a spine and it has hands and it looks like
and
a little...
And a heartbeat and it's a little human being, yeah.
And everything. But you know what? It hasn't developed any sort of, like, experience with the world. No, I mean...
So experience with the world is now the way we determine life. Okay, interesting. We do, Karen. I'm sorry. We do have some other callers here. I do have to move on, but thank you for your perspective on that. Let's go to Janet here in Kalamazoo. Janet, welcome to the show. Glad you're with us.
It's a proven fact that babies in the womb are able to hear the music the parent plays to them, have feelings and touching strokes of the parents, of their brothers, sisters, or relatives.
And what does that mean?
Feel that. And that they feel they are a human from conception. They also learn in the womb because they learn from, they can hear their surroundings and they learn from it. Also, I know personally 13 and 14-year-old girls who carried their child full term and kept their children and are adults and professional women today, and their children said, thank you for not aborting me, and their child is very successful.
Well, we're not talking about forcing people to have abortions here.
No, that's not the point. We are paying for other people's abortions, which we have to answer to God for what we do, and to force
us. Agree with you, but the cases we talked about where three children would have been left motherless if that woman had been forced by the policy you're promoting to
you
have
do not
a baby.
Know that because you aren't God. You don't know if those.
Well, you don't know that because you're not God. That's where I'm saying it's a personal decision. And do you think God would prefer that the three children are denied a mother because she got pregnant by accident and the pregnancy was harmful to her health? You think God wants those children to be parentless? Is that God's will?
We all die when God takes us.
Yeah?
And
what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
It has a lot to do with it because the sanctity of life and life begins at conception, and that child.
And so the mother's life is not, that's not important. It's the baby's life is more important than the mother, even if that means three children are going to be motherless. That's your approach? Am I describing it correctly?
No.
Janet, we on to another caller here. We appreciate your time here. We do want to move on to Gonzalo in Portage. Welcome to the show. Glad you're with us. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. The issue at hand is whether abortion should be legal or not. Well, we need to look at the whole picture. When is life considered born? Is it at the time of conception or at the time of birth? If it's at the time of conception, then we need to pay taxes for that person that's not born yet. And now, if life is considered to happen at the time of conception, then if an abortion does occur, then we're talking about capital murder. So the laws, in order for abortion to be legal or not, we need to look at the whole picture, not just what the moral should be, whether we are for or against abortion. We need to look at the whole thing.
Well, I hear that. I hear you on that. But at the same time, is it not a moral issue?
Whether it is or not, we've taken now to Washington. We've taken down now to Lansing, and we're trying to put laws around it. So by doing that, we've taken the morality out of it. We're saying now we're going to dictate what a woman should do or should not do. And by doing that, then you need to look at all the laws follow a birth.
Okay.
So again, birth at conception or at the time the baby is born.
Okay. All right. We do have to get to a break right now. Shift gears here a little bit once we get back from the break. So,
okay. We can relax a bit.
We'll relax a little bit.
Okay.
Sounds like fun. Okay, Roger, breathe with me. In. There it is.
I'm feeling that inner calm.
The peace is returning.
Yes.
I'm not going to make you go home or anything.
There is order in the universe.
There you go. Okay, we're back on the same page. We're not quite singing Kumbaya, but I think we'll be okay. We got some great giveaway stuff.
Yeah.
Earlier in the show, we gave away a pair of tickets to see this movie Out of the Furnace. We got four more tickets, actually.
And we have four tickets to the K-Wing Cincinnati Cyclones game. This is Friday night.
So what, tomorrow night then?
Yeah.
All right. Great. So
is tomorrow the 13th?
Tomorrow's the 13th.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, these are for tomorrow.
Here's your deal. You get to go to a hockey game tomorrow, and then on Saturday you get to go to a movie.
Ooh.
We got your entertainment.
We're
going to
make your
weekend.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're doing a trivia question, no?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, and you guys told me to come up with an easy one.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Hopefully this is easy enough.
Okay.
What state is called the Volunteer State?
Oh.
Yo. You can't answer, my friend.
I can't answer this one, sadly. But yes, if you know what that is, you'll be able to call in and win those four.
So the first two callers that get it right each get a pair of tickets to the movie and a pair of tickets to the hockey game. Is that what we're doing?
Can do it that way.
Or are we doing it the first caller gets four?
I think we blow them out four times. All the tickets to one person. There.
Let's do it your way.
They can be their best friend's greatest.
Be a
allies.
Hero to.
I mean, yeah, be a hero this weekend. You can do that just
even
by.
Even take the kids.
There you go.
Yeah.
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 I don't know if you want to take the kids to that movie, though.
Oh, really? Is it rated?
It looks like it's one of those action thriller guns and all that stuff. Oh. The guns blazing. Oh. So, yeah.
Well, get babysitters.
But get babysitters and take your friends there.
Yeah. I mean, have an adult evening.
There you go.
A date
there you
night.
Go. Absolutely. So there you go. Out of the Furnace. You get four tickets for that. Four tickets to go see the K-Wings and the Cyclones. Your weekend's covered there.
Yeah.
The only thing we didn't cover was Sunday, and let's face it, you're going to need a day to rest up.
Recover
after all
from
that.
All so, this. Your voice will be shot from yelling at the hockey game.
Yeah.
They yell at hockey games, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
I suspected as much.
The last hockey game I was at, they yelled.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with me.
Especially during the fights. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I went to a fight one time and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah,
yeah. It's crazy. But, yeah, all of that. And he's in there taking calls now to find out.
So we need just one winner.
One winner. Looks like he's having a deep conversation with someone in there. That's good. Okay.
Oh, we have a winner. We have a winner.
Yes, the winner was Bill Reeves.
Oh, good.
Yes, he said he knew you.
Yep. And congratulations, Bill. Tomorrow night, you're seeing the Kalamazoo Wings take on the Cincinnati Cyclones. And then, out of the furnace, Saturday night or any night, while that movie's here.
Sure.
If you want to have two date nights, one this weekend and one next weekend, you could.
But think about blowing all that out in the same weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an incredible. And Bill gets to do that and be somebody's hero.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
So everyone else is now jealous.
I am. I am.
Yeah, me too.
I think what you're saying over there is, Bill, take me! Take me!
Hey, that's a good idea. Hey, I know Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, my email is...
So there you go. So, I think, you know, after a day like this, we need to be able to have a positive end. And that's always a good one to have.
Yes, we ended with... I think this is one of the best giveaways we've ever had. I don't think we have ever given away a combo package of movie tickets.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.